broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
Let's begin this Tuesday morning giving glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. You alone are Jesus Christ. For the glory of God the Father. Amen. It's good to have you with us for Morning Glory. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy, and joining us live from the Catholic News Agency offices in Rome, Dominican Father Thomas Petri, who starts us off with prayer.
Today is the memorial of St. Cyril of Alexandria, so we pray, O God, who made the Bishop St. Cyril of Alexandria an invincible champion of the divine motherhood of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, grant, we pray, that we who believe she is truly the Mother of God may be saved through the incarnation of Christ your Son, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Father, what brings you to Rome this week?
I'm here for 2 weeks. The Vatican's Congregation for Clergy is having a two-week conference on the formation of seminarians to the priesthood. It's been an excellent conference so far. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later in the program.
Yeah, around 7:10. In the meantime, Gloria has a thought from Mother Angelica.
If you want to do something for the Lord, do it. Whatever you feel needs to be done, even though you're shaking in your boots and you're scared to death, take the first step. The grace comes with the first step, and you get the grace as you step. Being afraid is not a problem. It's doing nothing when you're afraid. That's the problem.
Now we know where Nike got that slogan, just do it.
Just
from
do
Mother
it.
Angelica.
Yeah, she's like, follow me, guys. I just did it. I founded a network. I didn't have any experience.
Take
and
that
look
step.
At take yes.
Yep. In the news this morning, the Supreme Court allows a limited version of President Trump's travel ban to take effect, agreeing to hear the case in October. The High Court says the ban on people entering the U.S. from six mostly Muslim countries can be implemented for now, except for people who, quote, have a credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer says President Trump is pleased with the court's decision.
The president was honored by the 9-0 decision that allows him to use an important tool to protect our nation's homeland.
The administration calling this a clear victory. The Supreme Court rules a Missouri church has the right to seek state funding for playground improvements. Trinity Lutheran Church applied for a Missouri state grant to install a rubber playground surface to protect kids. The state denied the application, saying the Missouri Constitution forbids spending public money on any church, sect, or denomination of religion. Justices voted 7-2 on Monday, siding with the church. They say Missouri's policy violates the First Amendment by denying the church an otherwise public benefit due to its religious identity. Michael Ferris is president and CEO of Alliance Defending Freedom.
It reaffirms a broad principle in a newer and broader context. And that principle is this: religious people are not second-class citizens. If the government decides to open up a general program and wants to keep religious people or religious groups out, that's an unconstitutional denial of the free exercise of religion.
Alliance Defending Freedom is a nonprofit legal organization advocating for the right of people to freely live their faith. The Supreme Court agrees to hear a case of a Colorado baker found guilty of discrimination for refusing to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. The court will hear the appeal of baker Jack Phillips. Jack Williams is not a baker. He's the general manager of EWTN Radio. This Jack Phillips, argues his religious views and free speech are protected by the First Amendment. Gloria?
Well, I'm thinking that this is going to be a big case because we'll find out what happens to those of us who don't agree with the court's ruling and want to live according to our conscience and run our businesses according to our conscience. So this will be a big deal. We'll see if we get crushed or we get supported. So this is what's going to, I can't wait till this happens.
So it's not about baking cakes. So don't worry. Go ahead and bake that cake this morning.
Yeah. Well, okay. Oh, that was a joke. Sorry. I didn't get it. Brooks. Wow. Brian's like, vicious. I was like, what? No, I just
all right.
didn't get
Reuters reports the captain of the cargo ship involved in the deadly collision with a U.S. Navy destroyer off Japan's coast last week told the ship's owners he signaled the USS Fitzgerald, but the destroyer failed to take evasive action. Retired Navy Commander Brian McGrath says there's no way those two ships should have accidentally collided.
There was gross professional negligence in this collision. Where that professional negligence occurred, to what degree on each ship, I don't know yet.
Investigators are not commenting on that Reuters report. The city of Chicago teaming up with the feds to target gun violence. The Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, is lending Chicago a high-tech mobile crime lab to analyze weapons or shell casings found at crime scenes. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says the technology will help police lead to suspects.
They might use a gun to in three or four different incidents, and we can track those casings to that particular gun. So when we get that guy, then we might be able to attach him to each of those incidents.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. Pope Francis names Monsignor Alfred Schlert as Bishop of Allentown, Pennsylvania. He's currently the diocesan administrator there. Pope St. John Paul II named him chaplain to His Holiness with the title of Monsignor in 1999, and Pope Benedict named him a prelate of honor in 2005. I should say Pope Emeritus Benedict. Mm. The Vatican issues a statement Monday about a Chinese bishop who was removed from his diocese by the state in May. Bishop Peter Xiao Zhumin is part of the underground church, not the state-recognized church, so he's not recognized by the communist government. He was detained along with three other priests following the death of his predecessor, preventing him from presiding over the predecessor's funeral mass. He was also prevented from celebrating the Triduum and Easter liturgies. For the first time as head of the diocese, persecution of Catholics in China varies by province, with certain provinces seeing an increase in recent years. China wants India to withdraw troops it claims have entered Chinese territory. Chinese defense officials say Indian border guards crossed over at a mountain pass in the Himalayas that connects India with Tibet. The Chinese Defense Ministry accuses the Indian military of obstructing work on a road in an area which Beijing says lies within its territory. It says the move is seriously threatening peace on the border. That pass was the site of military clashes in 1967. Pope Francis receives the Italian League for the fight against tumors on Monday, stressing the importance of accompanying families and those on the margins on the path of prevention and cure. He thanked those gathered for their commitment, telling them that their work is a very useful tool of awareness, adding that there is a real need to promote a culture of life based on attitudes. President Trump welcomes India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi to the White House for their first meeting. The president seemed to reference the fact that India has a trade surplus with the U.S.
India has the fastest growing economy in the world. We hope we're going to be catching you very soon in terms of percentage increase. I have to tell you that. We're working on it.
President and Mrs. Trump hosting their first White House state dinner for a visiting foreign dignitary yesterday evening. And a Southwest Airlines flight from L.A. to Houston was diverted Sunday after a passenger made a move to open one of the plane's emergency exits in midair. A Cleveland, Texas Independent School District police officer, Pam Minshew, was also a passenger on the plane. She helped subdue this disruptive woman.
As soon as the plastic piece came off, all I could think about was the movies, the doors going to come off, and there was too many lives, including my children. So at that point, I just had to react. She was not going to get the door open.
So she took her to the back of the plane. They handcuffed her and held her until the plane landed safely. Thank God it landed safely.
Did they say why the woman went to the door?
No.
She
was acting very erratically. She was walking up and down, sometimes backwards. I think, you know, apparently she was having some sort of problem, but it was unclear.
What's scary is that she was able to get close enough to the door, you know, so mm-hmm. if people hadn't reacted quickly, this could have turned out quite differently.
Well, wow. Those emergency exits are very readily available to anyone on the plane. Mm-hmm. I mean, the exits over the wings, anybody can get to those.
Mm-hmm. They even teach you how to do it.
Of course
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, that's true. You've got to get off the plane.
I always sit in the emergency door. I always sit in that aisle so that I could help people if
they're getting off.
If we needed to.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In sports, Brandon Belt hits an RBI triple in the third inning, scoring to extend the Giants' lead over Colorado.
It's a high drive, deep right center field. Going back is Blackman, still going back. It's off the wall. It bounces back toward the infield. Panic is around third. He scores. Belt still going, and he gets to third with a stand-up triple.
The Giants beat the Rockies 9-2, and we'll have more Major League Baseball scores in our next half hour. Right now it's 10 after and time for Elisa's forecast.
Morning Glory weather.
Warm along the West Coast and mostly sun across the Midwest on this Tuesday. Sunny in Cleveland with temps in the low 70s for those joining us on The Rock this morning. For our listeners on Spirit Catholic Radio in Omaha, expect a warm day with a high of 84. And a sunny day for our Sacred Heart Radio fans in Seattle. Expect temps in the low 70s.
It's 10 after the hour on Morning Glory, and Father Thomas Petri is joining us live from Rome. Tell us more about that conference you're attending, Father.
Well, last December, the Vatican's Congregation for Clergy issued a new document on the formation of priests, and the last time they issued such a document was actually in 1985, so it needed some updating. You know, in the meantime, John Paul's Pastores Dabo Vobis in the 90s was issued, and that's really a fundamental document on the nature of the priesthood. So basically, the Holy See has invited, for this round, English-speaking priests who are involved in the formation of seminarians for the priesthood, and there's about 120 of us. And of course, I know many of them from my work in this formation. And there are formators from America, from the United States, from Canada, from Ireland, from England, and all the way from the Philippines. It's just been a wonderful experience to go through the document together with the officials of the Congregation for the Clergy, and how seriously priests are taking their responsibility to form seminarians, to be good priests for the people of God.
Hmm. Gloria?
No, I was just listening and wondering, so how long, so you're going to be there for the next 2 weeks? And I have to ask, how many espressos have you had before you got on air?
I've had four espressos today, because it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it's lunchtime there.
Yeah, it's time for pranzo here in Italy. And it's a two-week conference. We'll be here until next Friday, July 7th. You know, this is the funny thing is it's so Italian how it's being run. You know, there's one talk in the morning, coffee, discussions, and then one talk in the afternoon. I said to somebody, if we were having this conference in America, we'd have it finished in 4 days.
Right, instead of 2 weeks. All the napping in between and stuff.
Well, it is summertime, so you might as well slow down a little bit. Yeah.
Exactly. It is summertime.
Well, there's another story out of a place in Rome. This time it's Rome, Maine. It's not the salad. It's Rome, Maine. It's a soldier who lost four limbs.
That was a joke, right?
Opening. It was a joke, but you got it.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. It was a soldier who lost four limbs. That's his both legs, both arms. He's opening a retreat to help others. And I thought that was just such a very, very wonderful way to respond to waking up on his 25th birthday in a hospital and learning that an explosion in Afghanistan had robbed him of all four limbs. And instead of just giving up, I mean, that's hard news. You wake up on your 25th birthday and find this out. Instead of giving up, he, you know, pressed forward and got rehabilitated, and then decided he just wanted to open up a camp where other people who suffer similar war injuries could come and basically get rehabilitated, so to speak. So I thought that was very positive. Hello.
Sounds positive.
Hello. Yeah, sorry. I was zoning out just here in the Roman sun. You know, it's like it's very sweltering here in Rome. So it has affected, even though I'm hopped up on espresso, it's affected my thought processes just a little bit.
Okay. And Father, you're sitting in our Catholic News Agency office there in Rome, aren't you?
That's right. I'm sitting in Alan Holdren's seat in his office, and I know he's going to be on the show a little bit later this hour, and so I hope that he can take my seat right there in the studio with you all. It's a nice office he's got here, and the people here at Catholic News Agency and the EWTN offices in Rome have been very accommodating and just so hospitable, so I was so grateful that they allowed me to come in, and the office is right off the Via Conciliazione, which is that main road that leads right into St. Peter's Square. So as soon as I step out of the office, I just have to look to my right, and I'm not even a block away from those great folding arms of the colonnade with all the saints on top of the colonnade of St. Peter's Square.
Oh, wow. That's
Thank
beautiful.
You for taking us there this morning. Father Thomas Petri, nice. Our godly counsel, Dominican from the Dominican House of Studies. there in Rome for this important conference. So, Gloria, we have our friend Lewis Brown in studio.
Yes, Lewis Brown from Christ Medicus Foundation CMF Curos in studio. He's going to be talking about some announcements regarding CMF Curos, so stay tuned right here on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
Top evangelists are gathering July 1st through the 4th for the Convocation of Catholic Leaders, the joy of the gospel in America. Under the leadership of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they will identify solutions to some of the greatest challenges the church faces today. To learn more about the discussion and what these missionary disciples will bring back to your communities, go to usccb.org/convocation.
No Catholic radio station in your area? Perhaps God is calling you to get involved. Learn more about starting a Catholic radio station where you live. Contact Jack Williams, 205-795-5756, or jwilliams@ewtn.com today.
This is Janet Benkovic, host of Women of Grace.
Hello, this is Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington.
This is Gloria Purvis, host of Morning Glory. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
We'll have Elisa Murphy's Catholic Chatter sharing some of the connections that you make with us, either on Facebook or with a text or an email. That's coming up in a few minutes. Elisa is our producer at Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C. Our godly council coming all the way from Rome this morning, Father Thomas Petrie. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
In studio, we have Lewis Brown, Esquire. He's director at Christ Medicus Foundation. Good morning, Lewis.
Hi, good morning.
For those listeners who are unfamiliar with Christ Medicus, can you give us a little brief overview of what Christ Medicus is?
Sure. And I love to be on your show, Gloria. CMF Curo is a national Catholic healthcare ministry. It provides a national Catholic health sharing options where Christians come together directly to share their medical costs. We have members in over 49 states. It's a beautiful thing. You can find out more about it at mycatholichealthcare.com. We also do a lot of work on the right of conscience in healthcare at the federal level, educating Congress about the Conscience Protection Act and the importance of protecting conscience in healthcare, as well as work with Catholic primary care providers to make sure that they can have a business model that's sustainable, but also that's Christ-centered.
How could anybody not like it? When did you all get started?
The foundation was founded by Mike O'Day in 1997. The health sharing option, CMF Curo, was launched in fall of 2014.
Okay. Now, I understand there are going to be some changes at CMF Curo. What's going on?
There are. I'm moving into a new role, and we are blessed to have Mary Vigil to come in as our director of operations. Mary has an amazing healthcare background and a master's in public health. She's worked in public health quite extensively, done medical missions internationally, as well as was the former director, medical director of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese of Washington. She's an amazing talent, and we're so happy to have her on our team.
Well, congratulations to Mary. Does she know what big shoes she has to fill?
Well, yeah, or small shoes, no, but we're excited to have her. She's an extraordinary talent, and she's trilingual and just adds a lot to what we're doing at Christ Medicus and CMF Curo.
I'm just curious, what was it like going on the Hill, educating people about conscience protections? Did people kind of already get it, or did you have to really say, here's why we're, here's what this means?
Sure. It's a bit of a combination of both. I think, thanks be to God, we have a pro-life majority in the House and a significant number of senators who are pro-life in the Senate. And so there's a lot of allies there. But in terms of understanding the importance of it, I think there is some fear around that issue because of past political battles. But we have to be bold, and we can't be afraid of protecting the right of conscience, the right of religious freedom. So we do have allies, but there's a lot more work to do. Even educating, not only educating those on the Hill in the House and the Senate, but also the American public on how important the right of conscience is how important it is for us to be free as a people.
Do you think people just don't get it? They're like, oh, as long as I can go to my doctor, I'm good.
Right. Yeah. And so it's interesting, too, if you even look at some of the language from the opinion that came out yesterday in the religious liberty case, it talks about the fact that this is not just simply freedom of worship. It's freedom of religious belief, freedom of religion, which means not just what I do privately, but what I also do publicly and in my profession.
I think Father has a question.
Lewis, this is Father Thomas Petrie. I know I read some of the decision yesterday and the media coverage on it. What was with the whole question of footnote 3? You know, because it seemed like some of the justices assented to it. I don't quite understand, because I read the footnote and it said this is not about discrimination, but about playgrounds. Can you explain that a little bit and why that's important?
Yeah, I actually don't know the footnote, Father. I would love to be able to do so. I know so much of this, and I did read Archbishop Laurie's a very good statement on this, where he talked about, you know, we really need a response to these Blaine Amendments, which were passed in the early part of the 20th century, basically to really move Catholics out of, especially, you know, education, and what the work that they were doing in hospitals, to move them out of that area, at least from my understanding. And so that's very important.
I think that'll be a good question for our 7:30 guest, Elizabeth Slattery from Heritage, who's going to talk specifically about the Trinity Lutheran case. But one of the things that I was curious about is when people, after they join CMF Curo, it's health sharing, it doesn't have a big, like, out-of-pocket cost to join?
That's correct. That's very much correct. And that's, you know, especially for folks that don't have an employer plan, for folks that are running their own business, they're an independent contractor, so on and so forth, it's much less expensive than other healthcare options. Health sharing is a beautiful way to really witness to our faith. And we're really calling all Catholics to really discern and to consider joining a health sharing ministry, because it's such a beautiful witness. We're protecting our religious freedom, and now is the time to find new ways to really witness to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's calling us to have this kind of communion, even in healthcare.
Now, I understand, for our listeners who are unaware, there's going to be a convocation put on by the USCCB July 1st through 4th in Orlando, Florida, and it centers around Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation, A Joy of the Gospel. And I understand, Lewis, you're going to be there giving a talk. What are you going to be there speaking about?
So I just have the honor of being on a panel on healthcare with other amazing Catholic healthcare professionals. It's going to be moderated by Dr. Stephen White, who's a phenomenal doctor based out of Florida. And what we hope to talk about from the Christ Medicus Foundation point of view is the new evangelization in healthcare. Mm-hmm. How do we bring the evangelical mission of the church to share God's love with everyone into the healing ministry of healthcare with the church and have that new vision? Because, you know, I very much have been involved with these kind of national healthcare policy debates, and those are important. But with the level of Catholic healthcare, the impact of Catholic healthcare in our country, we should first, as Catholics, say, how do we get our own house in order? How do we provide a new witness of the Holy Spirit in healthcare, bringing God's love to people?
Brian.
And Gloria, what role are you playing in that convocation?
I'm actually going to be the main stage panel moderator. So all of the main stage, when the whole, like, thousands of us get together, when everybody gets out there to talk on different topics, that's what I'll be doing. So EWTN will be broadcasting it, so you'll be able to see me there as well.
Yeah, we look forward to hearing you on Morning Glory as well.
Yep.
Don't let anyone step on your feet as a moderator there, Gloria.
I won't. You know that. You know that's not going to be
Father,
a problem.
Father, you know Gloria better than that, don't you?
It will not be a problem.
Will you be your? Will you? Are you bringing your ruler, Gloria?
I am. I'm bringing my ruler and my elbows. Those
principal
two
purpose.
Things I need.
There you go. Right.
Well, Lewis, thank you so much for coming in studio. And if you're interested in finding out more about CMF Curo, you can visit mycatholichealthcare.com. And congratulations to Mary Vigil for taking on that your old role. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
All right, Alan Holdren will be coming in to sit in that seat shortly in the Guadalupe studios, and Father is in Alan's chair in Rome. We'll get to him in a moment, but first a little Catholic chatter with Elisa Murphy at 24 After.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. Email the show directly, morningglory@EWTN.com. We did hear from Amy this morning, who wrote in, happy to hear Lewis Brown on the airwaves and the great work they're doing in Catholic health care. We also did hear from Verna regarding the Supreme Court's move yesterday on the travel ban. And yes, Verna, that is a temporary decision. They will be taking up that full case this fall.
I think Verna's point is that's a temporary travel ban, and I think that that's one of the things that's being ignored, that it's a temporary travel ban. It's just to give time to assess the situation, and it is a temporary situation ruling as well.
Yes.
All right, Father, so give us some spiritual guidance from your high seat there in Rome.
Here just outside of St. Peter's. Well, you know, as I said earlier, I'm at this conference of priests who are helping to form seminarians, and we've been having a lot of wonderful discussions on what it means to be a priest who's forming other priests, you know, and that this is a sort of way that we are fathers to the younger generation of new priests that are coming up. But we also have been focusing on the role the lay faithful have in helping to form priests, that, you know, seminarians need friends, that often they come from situations in which they may not have felt a lot of family support, or they have not felt a lot of friends support for their vocations to the priesthood. So how important it is to have friendships. And this goes to, for us, one of the aspects. There are four aspects the church talks about in forming priests: the human aspect or dimension, the spiritual dimension, the intellectual dimension, and the pastoral dimension. And all four of those have to be integrated. But the human formation is very fundamental, that we want to make sure that men who are ordained have a good grounding in their own humanity, you know, that they know themselves well, they know who they are, and they're even basic things like having proper manners and how to relate to others. And we find that increasingly, and this is true for the formators across the English-speaking world, and the congregation tells us across the world, that it's becoming difficult because of social media, because of the cultures we're living in. You know, young men are generally maturing later than previous generations when they matured, you know, and that follows us into the seminary, that follows them into the seminary. So even basic things that, you know, maybe a mother would tell a young man, or even later in life, a girlfriend or a wife, like, you know, buddy, it's time to take a shower, you know, or things like this, very basic human things. And to be able to do that as men, as older men, helping younger men to be better men, you know, because as St. Thomas Aquinas says, grace builds on nature. So you have to have the humanity in order to attend to all of the things that being a priest requires you to do, attending to the spiritual and the pastoral and the intellectual. If you're struggling with who you are basically and fundamentally, well, then, you know, we have to sort of look at that and see whether or not you should move forward or whether or not you should step away. But it's very important for friendship, because real friendship is what it means to be human.
Well, you know, I was thinking you all could probably do a course for single men here, because I'm thinking everything you said sounds like what we need for good husbands too, really.
Well, that's right. You know, and we said that, you know, the other day, the Archbishop Patron Wong, who's a secretary for seminaries of the congregation, said, you know, good priests should be good fathers, which means they should also be able to see themselves as good husbands too.
All right. Father Thomas Petrie joining us from Rome. Alan Holdren is in studio with us. He'll be with us in our next half hour, and we have news next here on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Have you heard about Church Pop? It's the newest member of the EWTN family, with new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
On May 13th, 1917, in her first apparition to the three children, Our Lady of Fatima said, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings He wills to send you as an act of reparation for the conversion of sinners?" It's a powerful question. The question that's also being asked of us: are we willing? Do we pray for the conversion of sinners? Are we willing to fast? Are we willing to accept suffering that the Lord might send us so that sinners can be converted? Are we even willing to suffer ourselves for our own conversion? So often we simply want things to be well, but we don't want to be part of the solution. We ask God to fix things. But God asks us, will you join me in this great work of the conversion of sinners?
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
This is John Martinoni, host of Open Line Monday.
Hello, this is Archbishop Charles J. Chaput, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
This is Jerry Usher, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
We come to you from Guadalupe Studios on a beautiful Tuesday morning, the 27th of June in our nation's capital. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
We have the Catholic News Agency's Alan Holdred in studio with us today. Love that beard, Alan. Looks good on you. We have faces for radio, Alan. I know that. Alyssa Murphy is our producer. And in Rome, in Alan's seat, is Father Thomas Petrie, who leads us this half hour in prayer. Father?
It's the memorial of St. Cyril of Alexandria. So we pray, O God, who made the bishop St. Cyril of Alexandria an invincible champion of the divine motherhood of the most blessed Virgin Mary, grant, we pray, that we who believe she is truly the mother of God may be saved through the incarnation of Christ your Son, through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Father, thanks for joining us. We'll get back with you in a moment. In the meantime, let's prepare for Morning Glory Musings.
Yeah, there was an interesting article about a woman's and her husband saying what they'll do if the Republican-led Congress defunds Planned Parenthood. And there were a few little nuggets of surprise in that article that I want to unpack a little bit during my musing.
All right, and this story relates to that a bit. A pro-life group, Live Action, says new video it obtained shows Planned Parenthood refuses to help pregnant women who want to keep their babies, give birth to their children. In the video, an employee explains what services are offered and not offered for expectant mothers.
And I was just asking what kind of services you offer for pregnant women.
Pregnant women?
Yes.
Pregnant women who want to continue with the pregnancy?
Yes.
We don't offer services.
Lila Rose of Live Action has worked extensively to expose the truth about Planned Parenthood.
We called over almost 100 Planned Parenthoods asking for services they actually listed on their own websites, prenatal care, adoption referral, ultrasound, and we're told that almost all of them, save five, that Planned Parenthood did not provide those services. So this is even where they were advertising, and this is in the midst of this taxpayer funding debate where Planned Parenthood says we need the money because we offer these crucial services.
You can now view the entire video at liveaction.org. The Supreme
I'm just
Court rules
say that,
of Missouri.
That's diabolical. I mean, that's diabolical what they're doing there.
No doubt.
All right, Father, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
No, it's Supreme, okay. It's my fault.
The Supreme Court rules a Missouri church has the right to seek state funding for playground improvements. Trinity Lutheran Church applied for a Missouri state grant to install a rubber playground to make the surface safer for kids. The state denied the application, saying the Missouri Constitution forbids spending public money on any church, sect, or denomination of religion. The justices voted 7-2, siding with the church. And we have with us this morning Elizabeth Slattery, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, for comments about this case. Elizabeth, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Morning Glory.
Thanks for having me.
What is the meat of this case? What's the point of it?
So the point of it is that seven members of the Supreme Court agreed that what the state of Missouri did violated the Constitution's free exercise clause. The court basically said that churches do not have to check their religious identity at the door in order to compete with secular organizations for public funds.
So, Father, I know you had a specific question earlier that Elizabeth may be able to answer.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I know there was this whole hubbub yesterday about footnote 3, and I read footnote 3. I don't exactly remember what it said, but some justices assenting to it, some not. What does all that mean? Can you explain that to our listeners and to me, especially?
Yes. Yeah, so the footnote, Justices Neil Gorsuch, our newest justice, and Clarence Thomas did not join this footnote. And what in a concurring opinion, Gorsuch explained that he thought the footnote was seeking to kind of it could be read to limit the scope of this opinion so that people could read this just to be, oh, this just applies to playgrounds, or this just applies to situations where you have children's health and safety at stake. But he said, the general principles here do not permit discrimination against religious exercise, whether on the playground or anywhere else.
That's
so
amazing.
So he was making clear that that he was not joining that footnote.
That's amazing. So basically, Neil Gorsuch is to the right of even some of the other conservative justices, it seems, on this issue at least.
Yes, and you know, looking at his jurisprudence before he joined the Supreme Court, he had a very strong free exercise jurisprudence. You know, he's ruled in many religious liberty cases and in favor of religious liberty for all believers, not just for, you know, certain types of favored groups.
Elizabeth, how would you say this ruling impacts the Catholic Church, or does it?
It doesn't. I'm not sure. Aside from, you know, if there are state grant programs that the church might want to apply for, now under this ruling, they can't be excluded from programs simply because they're a church. So basically, if the state is going to make state funding available for something and there are neutral criteria that the church can meet, then the state can't lock them out of the program simply because they're a church.
All right. Elizabeth Slattery with the Heritage Foundation, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
The High Court also agrees to hear a case of a Colorado baker found guilty of discrimination for refusing to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. The court will hear the appeal of the baker, Jack Phillips, who argues his religious views and free speech are protected by the First Amendment. And the High Court allows a limited version of President Trump's temporary travel ban to take effect, agreeing to hear the full case in October. The court says the ban on people entering the U.S. from six mostly Muslim countries can be implemented for now, except for people who have credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer says the president is pleased with the decision.
The president was honored by the 9-0 decision that allows him to use an important tool to protect our nation's homeland.
The administration calling this a clear victory. And the GOP is working to get a version of its health care bill through the Senate. There's a heated exchange about this between Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson and conservative talk show host Hugh Hewitt. Hewitt urged Johnson to vote for the current version of the bill, but Johnson says he's not ready to do that.
Leadership wants to jam this, enforce it, using that as a forcing mechanism. I don't know, Hugh, I just find that a little offensive. I'm behind the clothes. I see what leadership's trying to do. They're trying to jam this thing through. It is far from a perfect bill.
Johnson, along with Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, and Utah Senator Mike Lee have released a joint statement saying they can't support the latest draft of this bill. A group of Democratic senators hold a sit-in on the Capitol steps Monday night protesting the Republican health care plan. Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley spoke at the rally.
We have to bring all 100 senators around to the vision that health care is fundamental to thriving families.
Vice President Mike Pence will visit Capitol Hill today trying to change some minds. The GOP is expected to call for a vote on the bill this week. A 4-year-old boy in Longview, Texas, gets a special treat from local police. Mason Williams' parents say their son loves anything to do with police. So when his birthday came around, his parents asked police to stop by. The Longview officers showed up in force for Mason to give him an unforgettable birthday surprise.
First, we saw the huge SWAT vehicle, and then I believe there were two cop cars behind it. Yelled at Mason, told him there was a surprise for him outside, and he ran, looked out the front door, and oh my gosh!
Police also brought gift cards for the family who have been struggling with Mason's little sister's health. His mother says they'll never forget this birthday. In sports, ahead of the forecast, the Cubs edge the Nationals 5-4. The Cleveland Indians rally from a 7-run deficit, beating the Texas Rangers 15-9. Chris Sale pitched 6 1/3 overpowering innings with 9 strikeouts, and Mitch Moreland hit a solo homer for the third straight game as the Red Sox beat the Twins 4-1. The St. Louis Cardinals thumped the Cincinnati Reds 8-2. Arizona over, the Phillies 6-1. And Jordan Montgomery matched his season high with 7 solid innings. Closer Aroldis Chapman shut down a 9th-inning rally just in time, lifting the Yankees over the White Sox 6-5. At 21 till, here's Elisa with your Tuesday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Hot temps across the Lone Star State for this Tuesday. For those listening on Our Lady of Victory Radio in Lubbock, expect a sunny day, warm with temps tipping 92. A high of 95 with sun for those joining us on the Catholic Radio Network in Denver this morning. And for our EWTN radio family in Clinton, Oklahoma, expect a partly cloudy day with a high of 92 for those tuned to the Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting Network.
And Father Thomas Petrie tells us more about St. Cyril of Alexandria, who celebrated today right after Morning Gloria Musings.
So there was this article on CNNHealth.com about this young woman saying that she would have to go to Mexico for birth control if the new Trump care, as it's deemed, as it's called, is passed. And as I was reading her story, I just found it very shocking. She says she became pregnant at 15 because she didn't have easy access to birth control. And I was thinking, no, that's actually not what got you pregnant. Got you pregnant is having sex. And I'm like, don't they teach that in school? And it was surprising to me how they talked around her personal responsibility for becoming pregnant and made it all about somebody else. Somebody didn't give her easy access to this. Somebody didn't do that. And I just thought this is the wrong understanding of how we get pregnant. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's your own. And then later on in the article, she says she was 15 when she got pregnant. And when she went to the doctor, she said she was pressured to abort. That he's like, we don't need another teenage mother, yada, yada, yada. But here's the interesting thing. She says her maternal instinct kicked in. And she never considered termination. And I thought, does she understand what Planned Parenthood, where she says she needs to go for her, quote, care? Does she understand what they do? That they actually want to shut down having any maternal instinct and have you choose termination. But that's besides the point. She says she had this child at 15. And she went on later on to meet her husband. She's 23 years old now. And she says, you know, she became pregnant when she didn't want to, and then she had trouble getting pregnant when she did want to. And this, again, to me, is very much indicative of our current attitudes, that we have to have absolute control over everything. And then we're surprised when we mess with our bodies, when they were working just fine, when we mess with our bodies so that it doesn't work, that later on, guess what? We actually have trouble trying to get pregnant. And eventually she was able to get some treatment from a doctor and she became pregnant. But here's the thing. She says she has to wait too long to see a doctor, maybe 4 hours, maybe 2 hours. And that's too long. And she can just walk into Planned Parenthood and be in and out in 30 minutes. And she says, if we do not have Planned Parenthood in her area, she's going to have to drive to Mexico to get birth control. Now, this is another one of the tactics we see when they talk about health care and how desperate women are. You know, you have to go to these desperate long distances just to get health care. Well, I looked up her town. She lives in El Centro, California. And what do you know? Right there on the web, two CVS pharmacies pop up. And I thought, this is, again, just more propaganda about how dire it will be if Planned Parenthood is defunded. First of all, if she wants to get artificial contraception, that's ubiquitous, people. We know that's everywhere in every little local pharmacy. There's a CVS pharmacy there. And believe it or not, these federally qualified health centers, often you just walk in and they have something right on the counter. You don't even need an appointment. You just take it and leave. So this whole idea that if Planned Parenthood disappears, then women are going to be robbed of this opportunity to use artificial birth control is a canard. First of all, we know it's not healthcare, Planned Parenthood. And second of all, we know artificial contraception is ubiquitous and pretty much cheap. And so let's not fall for the hype that they're trying to paint. And let's also understand Planned Parenthood is not about health care. It's about ending motherhood. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
We thank Gloria for Morning Gloria Musings as we go back to Rome and Father Thomas Petrie to talk more about St. Cyril of Alexandria today, Father.
Well, St. Cyril of Alexandria was the great defender of motherhood, the motherhood of God. So we give thanks to God that the Blessed Mother had no concerns about birth control when the angel appeared to her. St. Cyril was known as the guardian of exactitude. And in the fourth century, the question of calling Mary the Mother of God was a hot topic. It was a hot debate because the Bishop of Constantinople, Nestorius, said, oh, you shouldn't call her the Mother of God. You should call her the Mother of Christ because she's not the mother of the divine being of God. St. Cyril said, okay, well, that's true. She is not the mother of the divine nature. She's obviously not eternal. But here's the thing, St. Cyril said. Jesus Christ is one divine person. He's not a human person. He's a divine person who has a divine nature that he shares with the other two persons of the Trinity, and he has a human nature that he has assumed for our sake. And so because he has a human nature and he is a divine person, we can call Mary the Mother of God and not just the Mother of Christ. We still run into this today when people say that we shouldn't call Mary the Mother of God, to which I always respond, well, if you say Mary is not the Mother of God, you also cannot say that God suffered on the cross. Because when we say God suffered on the cross, what we mean is that a divine person, the Son, suffered on the cross for our sins in his humanity for us.
Dominican Father
Guardian
Thomas
of exactitude.
Oh, is we that, appreciate that.
Is that what Theotokos means, God-bearer?
The God-bearer, as opposed to Theochristos.
Mm. All right, we have switched chairs. Father talks with Alan Holdren next on Morning Glory.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon. And Cresta in the Afternoon looks at all of life through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church. Church teaching is the light by which we view the world, and so we'll explore everything, from abortion to Hollywood, and from the First Amendment to the United Nations, and everything in between. Following St. Paul, we're seeking transformation through the renewing of our minds. So that's Cresta in the Afternoon with me, Al Cresta, weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, shows on demands, prayers and devotionals, and the latest Catholic news. Visit EWTNapps.com today.
This is Bishop Paul Bradley of the Diocese of Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Hi, this is Tim Staples from Catholic Answers Live.
This is Father John Ricardo. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
Father Wade Menezes is your celebrant again for Holy Mass, live on most of these EWTN affiliates right after Morning Glory in 13 minutes at the top of the hour. It is good to have you with us on Tuesday in the 12th week in Ordinary Time. In our Guadalupe studios, we have our producer, Elisa Murphy. I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
We also have the Catholic News Agency's Alan Holdren in Guadalupe studios, and he has switched chairs with our godly counsel, Father Thomas Petrie, who's at CNA in Rome, Father.
That's right. So, Alan, I hope you're enjoying my chair there in D.C. Don't get too comfortable. I'm coming back for it. It's wonderful. I'm just so grateful that your office here at EWTN Studio News here in Rome has allowed me to take your office to broadcast this morning. Welcome to Morning Glory. The first thing I want to just sort of get into is this Chinese bishop that was forcibly removed from his diocese. Can you tell us a little bit about the background of that? Why was he removed? And he's missing. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's still missing, Father. We know that on May the 18th, he was taken away, forcibly removed, is how a Vatican statement put it yesterday. But it's not the first time since he was made bishop of the Diocese of Wenzhou in September of 2016. It's the fourth time. He was actually taken away before Easter celebrations this year, apparently to take him away from the leadership of the diocese in that most important liturgical moment of the year. Very strange situation, but there are it's a strange situation completely in China right now with the Catholic Church. You have the state-sponsored patriotic association that is under the government's control, and they would like to be in full control of the Catholic Church, so they're trying to call the shots. This bishop has sworn loyalty to the Pope, to Rome. The communists don't like that. I've heard of them taking away bishops and trying to indoctrinate them to the state-sponsored association. And if they pledge loyalty to that association, I'm sure he'd appear again tomorrow.
Mm. That's amazing. So this is his fourth time. I was unaware of that. Do you know how long they kept him away each of these times on average?
I don't have that information for all of the times. I know that at Easter it was about 5 days. And wow. He's been gone now for more than a month.
Does he say what they do to him when they have him?
No, we don't have interviews with him either.
Okay.
You know, this situation in China, whether it's for the bishops, the clergy, or the laity, or missionaries that are there, for us as journalists, as Catholic journalists, we often get information off the record. People will speak to us, but they don't want it to be printed because it could really hurt the situation there even more.
Mm. I mean, that's the nature of communism, right? To control the flow of information both in and out.
Yeah, and they can't stand the fact that someone outside of China, as the Pope, would have control over something within China.
Right.
How do members of the underground church there in China worship? Do they have churches or do they have to do it in secret?
It's often in homes, and there is, it depends on the region, it seems like. In the region that this bishop was taken away from, more than 1,500 churches have been desecrated or demolished.
Wow.
Imagine that. I mean, we're talking Christian churches there, and it could be from homes to actual buildings. A lot of the crosses will be taken off the buildings if they are seen by the public. It's just it's in varying degrees in different regions, depending on the local government, how free people are to worship.
Well, speaking of different cultures, and just to move a little bit to some more brighter news, being here in Rome just for a few days, and I'll be here for 2 weeks. Of course, you live here in Rome, so can you? What's it like to live in Rome and to be working with CNA? You're right off St. Peter's Square. How long have you been here, and how do you get along with the different culture here?
I feel really blessed to be there. You're in my seat there.
Yes.
You know, I'm from Nebraska. I've been there for 7.5 years.
A corn husker.
You'll be great. I stopped by Ben Sass's office here yesterday. He wasn't around to say hello. I've been there with my wife. We were married the first year I was there. She's from Sardinia, from Italy. So that's helped with the culture shock. It really is a shock. I come back to Nebraska. You know, I was there for 2 days this week, and there's a lot of space. It's really green, a lot of animals. It's very different from the center of Rome. But there, I mean, you really do feel blessed to be in that position. I live it as a vocation. It's a mission. And, you know, honestly, I don't know exactly how I got there. And I think almost anybody who lives and works in Rome feels that same sort of a sensation that you got there by way of providence, and you make the most of the situation. I mean, my job there is to bring what's going on in Rome and what the Pope is doing to you and the world. And that's the same for the other 24 people that are working for EWTN out of Rome.
Wow.
And your children are being raised there in Rome. How old are your kids now, Alan?
Isabel's 6, Tommy's 4, and Joseph is 1.5. And they are awesome. Romans. They are Romans, absolutely Romans. So they understand things that I don't.
Background.
that's one of the things that I was curious about. Like, I didn't see any playgrounds in Rome last time I went, which made me my daughter there. So, like, where do they?
Welcome to our life at Rome, right? So logistically, it's challenging. Rome is not a city that was built for children. And you know, it's an open-air museum, so to change anything is very difficult. So often in what used to be sort of aristocratic estates, they've converted them into big parks.
Oh.
So if you can make it to those parks, we've got one about 4 bus stops away.
Oh,
and,
nice.
So we go there to catch tadpoles.
Nice.
You know, we have a lot of American Dominicans studying in Rome, and I don't speak Italian fluently. I can understand it a little bit. And I was here recently and visiting with an American Dominican who's become very fluent in Italian, and we went out for cena one evening dinner. And there was a family with just a little Italian child, probably about 6 or 7, I'd say. And I was just noticing how they were interacting with their child. And this other Dominican said to me that he's noticed in his time in Rome that the Romans, they treat their children like they don't talk down to their children as much as we do in America. You know, like they treat them as like little adults. And to see these little children, that they're able and capable of having these very nuanced conversations, like, he doesn't often hear Italians doing baby talk with children as we would do in America.
That's true.
Has that been your experience?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now that I think about it, I mean, it's funny that I haven't actually thought about that before. But
do your kids speak Italian?
They speak the majority of what they speak is Italian. They speak English with a nice, it's a cute Italian accent.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's right.
Well, they grow up over in Rome. Well, yeah, that's what they're hearing, so it's great.
Well, here's one question. I'm just here. It's a hot, of course, this has been very hot I feel like I'm melting in the Roman sun.
Turn on the AC.
Yes, well, your office has AC. I know it's also very rare here.
A lot of buildings don't have an AC there.
No, how do you handle the heat? Because I think the reputation is that Americans were weak with the heat, where the Italians, they just don't seem to mind it as much.
Well, you stay in the shade. There's that little strip of shade on the street that's right next to the building. So you stay right there. You take off your jacket.
The wine helps.
The wine. There you go. The naps. And then you walk slowly. You have to walk more slowly than you would otherwise, and that helps. Mm.
Yeah. That's good. I'm going to keep that in mind as I'm walking through the streets.
It's great you're to wearing have Alan. Yeah. Alan, it's great to see you in person, and Father, it's great to have you in Rome. I know you're going to be sharing with us today's gospel from the chapter 7 of St. Matthew. But first, let's do a little Catholic chatter with our producer, Lisa Murphy, here at Guadalupe Studios.
We have heard from Angelica this morning, who wrote in, who very much loves Alan Holdren's writing as well as his reporting. You can find his work at CatholicNewsAgency.com. And we also did hear from Dolores, who wrote in regarding quite a good comment that Monsignor made yesterday. When God breaks into our lives, it's like having to break a couple of eggs to make a good omelet. Yeah, thank you so much for writing in, Dolores.
Uh-huh. All right. And Father, some hard sayings from Jesus to his disciples in today's gospel.
Oh, yes. Today it's Matthew chapter 7. And, you know, he says things like, do not give what is holy to dogs or throw your pearls before swine. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Enter through the narrow gate. So it's some very difficult sayings. You know, whenever I hear him say, do not give what is holy to dogs or throw your pearls to swine, I'm always challenged by the fact that I think a lot of my life, and I suspect we all can relate to this, what is swine in my life? What are the sins that I'm harboring? The fact is God wants us to be holy. He wants to give us these pearls of holiness and wisdom. But so often we resist that in our sinfulness. So it's all the more important just to be mindful every day of where I still need to improve and what I still need to confess, and to make confession such a regular part of our life. I just went the first day in Rome. I went to St. Peter's. The first thing I did was go to confession right there near the Apostles' Tomb. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Set a great example for us. Our godly counsel, Father Thomas Petrie in Rome. Are you back next week? Will you be in Rome again?
I think I'll be in Rome again next week. So see if we can make this work. It's been great.
Look forward to it. It's great to have Alan Holdren from the Catholic News Agency here in studio. And Gloria, it's always wonderful to see you. What do we have planned for tomorrow?
I believe we have Dr. Matthew Benson coming in tomorrow.
Yes, and Father Mark Ivany joining us tomorrow.
Nice.
Oh, great. Well, we hope that you can take a little time to spend with us on Morning Glory on your Wednesday. In the meantime, as we wrap up our show for Tuesday, the 27th, we pray together, giving glory to God. Glory be to the Father.
And to the Son.
And to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
Have a blessed day. We'll talk with you in the morning. Morning Glory on EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start. Because every new morning is a gift.